So our readings from the Acts of the Apostles continue. We see the dialogue going back and forth between the apostles and the Sanhedrin. Ultimately, Peter and the apostles say to them, "We must obey God rather than men." They give witness to the fact that they are commissioned to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him raised from the dead, and that the Spirit that rests upon them is prompting and bearing witness to these things as well. We see a similar reality in the gospel text. Jesus, who has been anointed for the mission, the great mission that's announcing a year of favor of the Lord, the prophetic words of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." Jesus coming from the Father in order to reveal the Father, to speak of heavenly things. I guess one objection that could come up in hearing this, I don't think it's a very strong objection, but then they say, but we live in the earth, we live in the world. When Jesus comes to talk about heavenly things, what difference does that make for us? We would prefer to live in the earth and have earthly wisdom because this is where we are. That's why so much effort is spent in the early church to speak of Jesus as the Word of God, the Logos, that comes forth from the mouth of God, not just in the matters of salvation and redemption, but comes forth from the mouth of God in order to create the world. To know heavenly things, to know the One who creates, by the means of the Word is spoken in creation, is to truly know a wisdom and a truth from which we are able to enter in and not only live in the world, in the management of earthly things, but again to recapture the destiny of God's creation to be one with Him. We cannot forget, my brothers, my sisters, who Jesus is and the purpose for which He came. John makes it very clear over and over and over again. He has come from the Father in order to reveal the Father. Remember, the book of Genesis, the temptation in the garden. You know, it's interesting because we can reduce their sin to the choosing to eat the fruit from the tree. But the sin begins earlier when they listen to the voice of the tempter and they distrust how and what God has said to them, that He is not worthy of their trust, that what He has said to them is off in some way, that He's holding them back, that He hasn't given them true freedom, but He wants to keep them under His thumb. How important this simple phrase, "Whoever does accept His testimony certifies that God is trustworthy." Ultimately, it comes down to that, doesn't it? The revelation of God in Jesus Christ, in His actions, in what He does and what He says, in who He is, reveals God in every facet to invite us to belief, to invite us into a relationship of entering in, that he is trustworthy, that we can fully enter in, that we can believe what he says and make it and incorporate it into our life, that we become set free by the one who created us, by the one who redeemed us, by the one who sanctifies us. Is God worthy of our trust? In many ways, this is what Jesus came to reveal. My hope, my brothers and sisters, is that as we hear this, as we see John proclaiming this, as we hear the words of Jesus, as we see the witness of the apostles in the early church, that we would recognize that this truly is the invitation for our life. Much more than words on a page, but an invitation to a radical new way of life in which we have radical freedom in God. Amen.